get our minds fixed on, being in a prayerful mindset. That's why I've always said too that when you read verses like when the Apostle Paul says pray without ceasing, that means you're going to have to be doing some prayer all the time, doesn't it?
That's right.
You won't be able to have any idle times in your mind. And when we don't do that, I think that's when we stumble. Right when we let our minds slip on to something else. And the world and the devil tries to keep something for you to keep your mind on. That's why the Bible says that those will be in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. See what I'm saying? If you want perfect peace where there's nothing really troubling you, there's nothing, doesn't mean there's nothing troubling going on. There's always some kind of catastrophe right around the corner, you know. But you can always have that peaceful mindset if you keep your mind stayed on him. See, he said, somebody said he'll give you peace in the midst of the storm. The winds can be raging and storms blowing, tempests and all that, but he'll give you peace right in the midst of it. Amen. Somebody said that the quietest place on earth is in the eye of a hurricane. When you're in there, it's total peace. But all around, destruction all the way around. But if you could just get in that eye, that's the place prayer puts you. It's in the eye of the storm where you don't have to worry about it. It's perfect peace. Amen. And of course, the Bible tells us in Isaiah that we can just stay our minds on him and he'll give us perfect peace. I think we could lower our blood pressure with a little bit of meditation. Instead of medication. Now, y'all heard what I said now. I said meditation. It almost sounds like medication. But if you need medication, take your medication. But in the meantime, keep your mind in meditation. And that may help bring it down as well. Amen. Amen. Because God is a good God. Amen. Pressing on to get us to where we need to be here, we're going to take a look today, because this is in our present world, as I mentioned, there are many ways of thinking that are contrary to the teachings of Jesus Christ, who alone, keep this in mind, that Jesus Christ and the way he thinks is what we want to think, but he alone, no one else, defeated death and rose from the dead.
No one else.
So he has a credential no one else has.
That's right.
See, and so we need to realize that validates everything that he said. That's why I put that on your paper there. So you can think about that thought through this week. It validates everything he said because he's the only one got out of the grave.
Yeah.
Whoever else has a philosophy or a teaching or whatever they have, or religion or a way of living or whatever, they have not gotten out the grave.
Yeah.
Jesus came in the world and he defeated the grave, gave himself to death in order to deliver us from death.
Yeah.
Have you thought of it that way? He gave himself to death. And no one was making him do it. He said, no man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down that I might take it up again. Now who's in charge there in a sentence like that? No man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down that I might take it up again. What? How are you going to lay it down and take it up again? Only one way you can do that. You have to be God. No other way can you say something like that and have it be true. And so he did that. He demonstrated that. So therefore, everything he said is validated above all others who remain in the grave, let me add. All those other folks told you, we got something for you, are still in their grave. So apparently what they had was not able to help them. And so therefore, I want to address this here to what stance is required of modern believers as we face fallen philosophies of death. Every one of them is a philosophy of death, because whoever came up with it, Socrates is in the grave. We could go on and on naming folks. I'm not going to waste much of your morning with it. Plato is in the grave.
Aristotle.
Go ahead. We can pick some famous philosophers. Charles Taze Russell in the grave.
In the grave. Yep.
Joseph Smith in the tomb.
In the tomb. Yeah.
We could go on and on. Muhammad. Start naming people. Buddha. Gandhi, just start naming people. All of them are in the grave. And so we don't want to give any credence to any of that kind of hogwash. If it couldn't get you out the grave, I'm not interested. But Jesus Christ is the only one, and so we talk about that. Therefore, we are the only one, or the major one, we're probably the only one that is opposed in the way that we are. because the truth is always going to be opposed. So those who walk in the truth and believe the truth have to have some special courage. Remember last week we talked about certain promises that God had given to those who trust in him. This is just a brief update in case you happen not to have been here. We talked about how God told Joshua again and again, be of good courage, fear not. And he said that throughout his dissertation, if you will, as he spoke with Joshua to pass the mantle of leadership from Moses, who had died, over to Joshua. And he told him, be strong, be of good courage, fear not as you face everything that's coming up. Why? Because I am with you.
Right.
I'm going to be with you. Same promise you and I have from the Lord.
Yes.
When you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, lo, I am with you all the days, however many there are. See? And he says, I'll be with you even to the end of the world. So he says, I'm going to be with you all the days. So we have the same kind of a promise. And we should find comfort there. You and I should find comfort right there, because it takes a particular amount of courage to be in the world and stand for the truth. And so today we're going to go from the certain promises of God, which they are certain, and we can tell God has got so many indicators in the world, letting you know that what he said he is well able to perform.
Yes, he is.
You see, not only the resurrection of Jesus Christ and people continuing to try to contradict that, which they do. People are constantly trying to contradict that. I was reading an article on the Jerusalem Post just this morning about somebody who says they found boxes of bones, and it said he figured out through technology that this was Jesus of Nazareth and his family. I said, oh, you did? I said, well, why come they didn't shut down the church immediately when they once they knew he was dead? See, and the reason the church exists is because Christ rose from the dead.
Right.
And there was no way for them to refute the claims that the early church made.
Right.
And you know what? If people knew, suppose Paul had known, or Simon Peter, or any of them who were with Jesus, that he was dead, do you think they would have stood up and allowed them to put them to death? I guarantee you they wouldn't. Who would die for a lie if you knew
right.
it was a lie?
Right.
See, and the reason they went on and gave their lives and had courage to face no matter what it was that came their way was because they knew Jesus rose from the dead. See, when they didn't know for sure, they weren't certain, they went and ran and hid. Remember that? It's in the narrative. It tells you they went and hid themselves. John was the only one who had a little boldness to stand there at the cross and witness some things firsthand. All the rest of them fulfilled the prophecy of Zechariah that they would smite the shepherd and the flock was scattered. They hit the road. Boom. Went every which way to get away from here. Well, we don't know. We know he had power. They was thinking, but you ain't got nothing now. Because look what they doing to you. See, and they went and ran and hid. Locked themselves behind closed doors. But after Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to them alive, then they got up and they were bold witnesses
yes.
for the gospel of Christ.
Yes.
Even to the point of no matter what you do, people like Stephen
yes.
who allowed them to stone him to death. I'm going to tell you the truth until as long as I can.
Yeah.
But you can't really hurt me because I already know the truth. And the truth makes me indestructible.
Yes.
See,
yes.
Jesus said, do not fear him who can kill the body. And when he's done that, that's all he can do. But fear him who can destroy the body and the soul and cast both into hell. That's who you should fear. Fear him. That's who we see. See, that's God. He's the only one who can do that. And so it takes a bit of courage, though. It takes confidence in the facts for you to understand what I'm saying. Now, this has always been the case for the people of God. I want to share something with you. Let's take a glimpse into the old covenant in the book of Deuteronomy. And I always like to remind you, when you read Deuteronomy, at one time it was like Revelation in the Bible. It was the last book of the Bible. At one time in the history of redemption, Moses penned the book toward the end of his life, and which would have been 120 years, basically, of his life. And he penned this book of Deuteronomy, and it was the last book at that time, because there were no writings yet at that point. So it's a great place to look. It's almost apocalyptic in some of the things that it says. In other words, like the end time. That's what we mean when we say apocalyptic. It means times of the end, the apocalypse you always hear people talking about. Okay, so at one time, we're going to read that just a little to get a glimpse into the life of the children of Israel. after their sojourning with Moses in the wilderness and crossing the Red Sea on dry land. And then I want you to look at some verses that Paul writes to the Gentile church at Colossae in chapter number 2 in the book of Colossians. I'm going to ask the deacons to read at this time these verses, and I ask you to stand, and also if you can, if you're able, and listen carefully to what thus saith the Lord.
Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statute and unto the judgment which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God your Father giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish us from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor.
Mm-hmm.
For all men that follow Baal-peor, the Lord thy God has destroyed them from among you.
Mm-hmm.
But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgment, even as the Lord thy God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and mm-hmm. your understanding in the sight of the nation, which mm-hmm. shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who has God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgment for righteousness as all this law which I set before you this day?
Amen. The word of the Lord to the people of the Lord, and now for the New Testament reading.
If I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain mm-hmm. deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power.
Amen. The word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord, and may God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. And as we have said, we're going to use for a topic, courage of the truth. Let us have a word of prayer. Eternal God, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you for everything, oh God, that we have experienced today. Thank you for the visitation of your spirit, oh God, in a special way among the servants here in the house of the Lord. Thank you for your word, God. Thank you for answered prayer. And right now, God, we ask for special wisdom, God, special understanding,
right now,
that you might infuse courage in everyone who is under the sound of my voice. Father, we're coming into an evil time, oh God, and we live in it, Father, and so therefore we need a special blessing of courage that we might be willing to take whatever it costs and be able to deal with it, oh God, and speak in the truth and love. As we go on in these latter days, Father, we ask a great blessing upon the church as a whole, everywhere she is in the world. We know that she is your bride and that you are preparing her for that great day when you come in to collect us and take us to be at your side once and for all.
Yes.
And so, Father, help us not to be resistant to your will, God. Help us, Lord, to have the courage that we need to take a stand for the truth in order to bless others, because we know that that is your desire. It's not your desire that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and all should come to the knowledge of the truth.
Yes.
And so, Father, we pray you give us the boldness and the courage to speak the gospel without fear and to live it, oh God, not only to speak it, but to walk in it by faith and not by sight.
Thank you, Lord.
Bless your word today, God, as it goes forth. We ask it in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, your Son.
Jesus.
And it's in his name that we pray. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We thank God for the privilege of being entrusted with the gospel. That's what you are. If you are a part of his church, which you are if you believe in Jesus Christ and believe that God raised him from the dead, you are a part of his body.
Oh, yes, we are.
He has taken you to be a part of what is called in scripture the bride of Christ.
Yes.
We have an engagement with the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. And he is cleansing his bride, it says in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, by the washing with water, by the word. He's cleaning up our lives, our way of thinking.
Yes.
He's coming into your mind to contradict godless philosophies that go around in the world. There are plenty of them. You hear them all the time.
Yeah.
Every day you get immersed in godless philosophy. It's all around you, the way people think. What people say. Sadly, in our time, we're seeing our government falling into godless philosophies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, initially, the American government and the American people were about the truth, even though they still had bones and issues in their closets back in those days, stuff that wasn't right. But it wasn't overt and flagrant like it is today, where people are doing things today that are totally ungodly, and they're saying they have the right to do it.
Yeah.
And that you who teach the truth, we don't want to hear from you. Just shut up. Take that and get in your closet. That's what they're saying. And so they put up a hard line against the people who actually stand for the truth, and they find fault with you, and they want to press you into a closet so you can say what you got to say in private, but don't come in the public with it. That's the way it is. And so you and I need courage.
Yes.
For the truth.
Yes.
Because God said when you light a light, don't put it under a bushel.
Mm-hmm.
Now that would be a little crazy anyway, wouldn't it? If you lit a candle and you put a bushel over, what's going to happen?
Right.
Or set the bushel on fire, or either it's going to put the candle out. We don't know. It's not going to be a good situation. It defeats the purpose of the candle if you put it under a bushel. You see what I'm saying? But he said put it up on the lampstand so it can give light to the whole house. In other words, hold up that which you know about the truth high. Don't suppress it. And I'm a closet Christian. I only talk about Jesus, you know, when I'm at church. And when I leave the church, now I go and I do everything everybody else does, you see. And I don't have any thing to say, you know, about the Lord. I'm not going to get two things I never argue about. That's politics and religion. No, I don't ever get into politics and religion. That's what people say, right? You know, and in the politics, I don't care. Do what you want with that. But what I want to say, and not so much religion, because what we have is not religion.
No.
What we have is the truth.
Yes.
Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
See, so we're in the process of being immersed in his word, and when we know what he says, it is the truth. He didn't mind calling it the truth, so I have to say it's the truth.
Amen.
And it was such a strong point with Jesus. He said, I am the way, the what?
Truth.
The truth. See that? And the life. So either we believe the truth or we do not. He says no one comes to the Father except by me. See? And so he canceled out everything else that calls itself a way to get to God.
Yes.
And yet our culture tells us we want you to keep that all in the closet and don't come out here telling us that. And can't you see that we're practicing other things? And we have equal paths to God. And you know, people say these kind of things, you know. So I don't know what God they're talking about. Because the word says that there is one God and one mediator also between God and man, the man.
Man.
Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And so since we are living in a world which has many differing beliefs, it's always a challenge. It has been so ever since man has been on the earth. Did you realize that?
Yeah.
God has always done it this way. He makes the truth apparent for everybody and gives them the option to select it or not.
Yeah.
So, because you know why? Because he wants you to be free.
That's
right. God's not trying to put you in chains. It's Satan and religionists and man that want to enchain you and bind you and lock you up with stuff. God wants you to be free. He made you to be free.
Yes, he did.
Somebody wrote a song, Born Free. I'm not going to sing it. Somebody said, thank you, Pastor. But free as the wind blows, they said. Free as the grass grows. Born free. You know, it's a good song. God wants you to be free.
Yes.
He's not trying to bind you. You know, and so what he does is he sets the truth before you. And he says that the truth will make you free.
Yes.
And he realizes that because of sin, sometimes we get in a bind. We become bound either with human philosophies and judgments, or we become bound with our own mental way of thinking instead of trusting God.
Yes.
At times when God said, trust me a little further here.
Yeah.
You know, and he always wants relationship. This is the beautiful thing about God.
Yes.
He's trying to be in relationship with you. He wants you to talk to me. You got situations going on.
Amen.
Talk to me.
Amen.
I'm your heavenly Father. I gave my son to cleanse you from your sin and open up the way to the most holy place so you can boldly come before the throne of grace. You know what it takes? Courage. Even to talk to God. Realize God wants to hear from you. He wants to talk to you. He wants a relationship with you. You know what? You know, people who you don't really know, you don't really talk to that much. That's why you don't know them so well, right?
Right.
When you talk with people, you get to know one another. You know how that is? Relationship's a good thing. We would all agree if it's a good relationship. But see, the world has a lot of toxic relationships and philosophies, ways that they suggest that people should do. But God is not like that at all. So I want you to know that we're always challenging these beliefs that go on in the world. And that every generation has had to select which one they will live by, although it will become increasingly more difficult in our time to spread this through mass communications. You know, false philosophies go everywhere now because you got Facebook and you got all kind of stuff where people are all connected all around the world. Somebody can say something in St. Louis and they say, oh, it went viral. What does that mean? That means it went all over the planet.
Mm-hmm.
On the internet, everybody knows what happened at somebody's restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
I heard something about some lady who insulted the cashier and said, you know, you charge me 18% gratuity and I only have to give God 10%. It's like, whoa. Yeah. And she said that to a waitress at Applebee's. The next thing you know, it went around the planet. Like, wow.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And I thought, boy, that's amazing because of the way things spread.
Yes.
So a bad idea can spread just like a good idea possibly could if we would tell the truth, if we had the courage to say the truth. And sometimes people say the truth and it causes you trouble. And when it does, then you shut your mouth. They muzzle you by not agreeing with what you said. And they go off on you. They might be unkind in what they say to you. And that might be enough for you to feel hurt and discouraged to that, oh, I may not ever say that again because look how they went off on me, you know. So you have to have courage if you want to stand for the truth.
Amen.
And you know what? I am participating with Satan if I don't tell you the truth. I am in the court with Satan. Satan is the one who propagates lies. He wants your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers. He wants them to go to hell.
Yes.
So he would like to shut your mouth so you don't tell them the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So I can keep them on this path on their way to hell.
Yes.
See? And so you and I need courage to confront those type of things.
Amen.
And the reason we do it is that we know what the word says. God says he loves everyone. It's not his desire that any should perish.
Right.
So no matter how far away from him they are, he doesn't want them to go to hell.
That's right.
That's why he gave his son and published it in all the world. And you know what? People really can't say they don't know. That's the part I always like.
Right.
I got some good backup. God has given me some good backup. Because
mm-hmm.
all I have to do is ask people who say they believe something else is, well, why is the calendar centered on Christ? Let's talk about that a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, well, they have to struggle around because they probably haven't thought of it.
Uh-huh.
You know, haven't thought about it. It's 2016 because that has to do with when Christ was born.
Yes.
And so I want you to start right there. I'm going to build a bridge, you know, to that. And then I'm going to talk to you about things that he said. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody would agree that the Ten Commandments are good. If you start asking people, do you think it's a good thing that people shouldn't be able to steal your stuff? Start asking people. And they'll say, oh yeah, I don't want nobody to steal my stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, thou shalt not steal, that's a good one, isn't it? Yeah, that is. And they would agree that the things God said are true. Mm-hmm. How about lying? Is it a good thing if somebody lied to you or cheat you or something? They say, oh no, I don't want to be lied to. Well, then that's a good thing, right? And you can go down that list, but you'll find out that the law never has saved anyone, but everybody would agree that it's good. Mm-hmm. So it's a good place to have courage to talk with people about those kind of things. Now this is what I want you to see. Let me cut to the chase. Can't get my time's getting away. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, this is what I want you to see. In the Old Testament, God is saying through Moses, now therefore hearken, O Israel. In other words, listen.
Yes.
Here it is, the conversational element that we talked about. Unto the statutes and the judgments which I teach you for to do them. In other words, my word is good for you.
Yes.
And listen to me. And I'm teaching you. God is a teaching God. I love that.
Yes.
He wants us to learn about him.
Right.
That's why he said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In other words, I'm going to pull the load for you, but you just hook up with me so I can teach you.
Yeah.
I want to teach you the right things. That's what love does.
Mm-hmm.
Love takes somebody under their wing and teach them the right way.
Amen.
You know, I know you're going wrong, but hey, let me couple up with you and show you how to do this thing right.
Amen.
See, and so God teaches. He told Israel, listen to those things which I teach you, not just to know them, but to do them, that you may live. This is going to be the result. When you follow me, life comes with my word, with the truth. And go in and possess the land. I want you to have stuff and things. I want you to be able to show off what your God did for you. I want you to go in and get what belongs to you. All of this is mine anyway. The people who don't believe me have usurped authority over it, but I want to give it to you. So you follow me, do what I said, and go in and possess the land. See? And so you can boast about your God who brought you through and about this relationship that we have together.
Amen.
See that? And then notice this. He says, this is the land which the Lord your God, your Father, giveth you.
Mm-hmm.
You shall not add to the words which I command you. Don't go and hyperbolize what I said. don't exaggerate what I said. But just say what I said. That's all you got to do. Do not add to the words and do not diminish aught from it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take away something to make it more palatable for someone.
Yeah.
Just tell them the straight truth.
Right.
See, give them the straight shot of what God said.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that. Notice that what he says there. And neither shall ye take away from it that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. All we have to do is look around at people who disobey God. You and I, when every time we flick the TV on and we hear about more murders, more robberies, more all this stuff where people violate God's word, they end up getting in trouble a lot of times. You know, sometimes it's sad, look like people seem to be getting away, but we find out it catches up with you.
Yep.
You know, it catches up with you after a while if you keep disobeying God. You know what? God is not mocked. That's what my brother said there.
Yes.
You know, because that which a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you keep on doing it, it's going to catch up with you.
Yes,
see? And it's going to make your bed hard. Like the parents, you said, if you make your bed hard, you have to sleep in it. You know? And so basically, these things happen. So we have to, and we see it. So God says, you can look around. Wisdom is shouting in the streets, the proverb writer says.
Yes.
So you don't have to experience all that stuff you see people going through.
You don't.
He says, your eyes have seen what the Lord your God did because of Baal Peor for all the men that followed that wrong way. And the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye did, he says, ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. You know what? That's what I'm looking at. I'm thanking God because I'm here.
Yeah.
I used to be out there with the Baal Peor folks. I don't know where y'all came from. You know, but I was out there and he spared me. He got me out of it. He taught me to stop that. Stop that running around. See? And he stopped me in time because I could have went out like some of them. I got some friends that went to the same places I used to go and some of them are not here right now. And not so much that being here is necessarily anything. I've asked the question though sometimes, Lord, that could have happened to me, but you spared me.
Yeah.
And I give him the credit.
Yes.
You know, because some of my friends, I said they went and I don't know if they ever got saved or not.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even become interested till he saved me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't know. I was as blind as they were. And so, but I look back over it and I said, boy, I don't know if they ever got saved. I wondered about people who I like Jimi Hendrix. I wondered, did you ever hear the gospel? And look how your life got sucked out by drugs. The next thing you know, you slept on your back and drowned, suffocated in your own vomit. You know, terrible thing. I hate to mention something so gross here this morning, but I think about people like that that I really thought, boy, I looked up to this guy when I was a kid. You know, I thought he was all that in a bag of chips. And next thing you know, I'm hearing about his death. Like, wow, I sure hope you got saved. And I really do, because I'd hate to think that people who had that much talent, that much of a gift and a blessing from God, went out without being blessed. And you pray somehow they heard the word and believed it. You know, that's how, I don't know if you ever do that. You don't ever think about those kind of things, do you? So God is just letting them know, look around. You can see how things are going with people who aren't following what I say. Notice in verse 5, behold, I have taught you, there it is again, statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me. This is Moses speaking to the children of Israel, that you should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. God says, I'm showing you off because you do what I say, so they'll see what you do and want to be blessed like you. I'm using you to show them my glory, my mercy, my kindness, my favor. You know, you are light in the midst of darkness. And he wants the nations to see it. See there?
Yes.
And so basically he says, and they'll say, surely this is a great nation, is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great? And who has God so close to them? As the Lord your God is in all things that we can call upon him for. He's there for us to call on him. People understand God is blessing you because of your relationship. You can pray and ask for things, and God blesses you and gives you that which you ask when you walk in his way. And the nation, he says, and what nation is so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? There is none. See what I'm saying? So God loves us just like we are, and it's always been this way, that relationship with the Lord.
Yes.
The Israelites were commanded to stick very close to the things that God taught them through Moses, so that the surrounding stain of toxic doctrines that the unbelieving nations would not negatively affect them, first of all, but also on the other hand, that their behaviors from walking in the truth would have an effect of drawing unbelievers to come and learn and love the truth instead of living in accordance with the world.
Amen.
See? So it's a two-way thing. God wants to use you to show himself off and to draw other people to him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's evangelism. Somebody said the best evangelism we have is the way we walk in the sight of men.
Amen.
Not so much what you say. That's why Paul said to the Corinthians, you are a living epistle known and read by all men. Because they're watching you. They see you. They may not pick up the Bible.
Right.
But I'm watching Brother Tate. Oh, he's going in and out the church now every week. What's up with that?
Yeah.
You know, and they ain't looking at the Bible, but let me see, Brother Tate, then they're going to come and talk to you and try to pick your brain about what's going on, what changed in your life that now you're going out again and again, you know, coming to rehearsals. And they look at each one of us and they examine the way you live. And so as we proceed in this life, we can be assured that there shall be many evil doctrines against which the simplicity of the gospel, they could come against the gospel. But we must rest assured that the Bible teaches that we are complete in Christ. And that's one thing, because what most people do is they go set up a religious philosophy and they say, oh, if you keep the five tenets of Islam, you're going to be saved. And we don't know if you're going to be saved or not, but will you be at least be considered? And the only way you can be sure is if you die in jihad. Stuff like that.
Yep.
They make up a system of works that you have to do in order to be saved. It's not a relationship with a God that loves you. A God who gave his son to be crucified for you. A God who cannot take any sin at all. He declares and demands complete holiness. The only way you can have that is if God gives it to you.
Right.
It can only be by his grace. You can never earn it. You don't ever deserve it.
Right.
But God gave his son because he knew how pathetic I am, and I'm glad he did.
Yeah.
See, because I couldn't stand here today and tell you, I've done everything God said.
What?
Oh boy, that would be a horrendous lie. You know, I'm so happy he gave Jesus. And because he did and made him famous in all the world, I can know for sure I'm forgiven of my sin. And he raised him out that grave so we can know that he swallowed up death and everything. And that what he said is the absolute truth. He wrapped the world around him and set time based on his son. You know, and if he didn't do that, I couldn't get in. There'd be no way. You know, and if you're not in, you need to trust Christ. And we need to have the courage to tell people the truth.
Yeah.
You know, people examine themselves. They'll know they haven't done everything right. If you really are honest, you know you did not do everything right. There's no way. If there is no mercy and no grace, I'm toast. But the fact is, God wanted the world to know that you're not toast. I love you. My love is real. It's deeper than any love you've ever experienced. That's why I gave my son. That's why he was crucified. Because I require perfect holiness, and you couldn't provide it, so I provided it for you. That's what the gospel is. I'm giving my son to make all of you who trust me clean. You trust in him and believe I raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's my grace. That's the level of love that I have for you.
Thank you.
See, and think about it too. Jesus loved you that much as well, because he was the one who had to execute the Father's will.
Yes.
He took himself down several levels to become flesh. He was made a little while lower than the angels, the writer to the Hebrews said.
Yes.
And he came down, donned a body of flesh, was lifted up on the cross, crucified before everybody. Although he was perfectly sinless, he was wounded for our transgressions. God had written it in the book centuries before his birth. Bruised for our iniquities, chastised for our peace, so that by his stripes we are healed. And so basically God had to have a perfect offering.
Yes, he did.
I couldn't provide him a perfect offering myself, and neither can you or any of these false religionists. So if we don't have courage to tell them the truth,
yes,
what are we doing? Whose side are we on? As I'm saying this to you, because I know this is true, and I'm just going to be done here in just a minute. I want you to know that everybody who has faith, everyone among us, no matter how long you've been walking with the Lord, our public persona is way above our personal faith. Now, and you know, don't say, oh, Pastor, don't talk about me now. You know, this is what I want you to know, though. Think about Peter walking with Jesus. We could pick any of them. It didn't have to be Peter. But think about him. He started off, and he told, Jesus told him that they were washing their nets in Luke chapter 5. So we're done. We didn't catch nothing all night. I'm a little upset because we didn't even catch anything. And Jesus told him, Simon, cast your nets over the right side of the boat. Lord, you don't understand. We're washing the nets. We're through. We're done. No, I said cast your nets. And Jesus must have looked at him some kind of way. He said, okay, if you say so, I'm going to throw a net. And he threw one in. It says a net. Jesus told him, cast all your nets. You know, he threw in a net. If you look at that text in Luke 5, and it says he started to draw up the net and it was so full of fish, the boat he was in started to sink. Wow, imagine that. If he had thrown all the nets in, he might would have not had such a problem. But he told Jesus, depart from me, O Lord, for I'm a sinful man. Just go away. I don't want to have anything to do with somebody like you, because I know you can see all the way into my soul.
Yes.
See? And Jesus told him, Simon, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. He didn't say, you know, you're inadequate, just go ahead, I'll come back to you later. No, he said, you follow me and I'm going to make you become fishers of men. And he fulfilled that promise, but Peter had failure after failure after failure after failure. All the way up till they came to get him, and he swung a sword, cut off Malchus' ear. Because he said, Jesus, I'm like, oh, let them take you. I done already told them they ain't getting you, and they chopped the dude's ear off. And you know he wasn't trying to cut his ear off. He was probably trying to cut that head. He swam back, and he accidentally sliced off his ear. And Jesus told him, put your sword away. He who lives by the sword will die by the sword. And he put the ear back. And Malchus said, whoa, wait a minute. I thought I was bleeding a minute ago, and it was amazing, you know, that he put his ear back.
Yes.
Told him, put your sword away. And Peter went on, and he had denied him three times. He had failure after failure after failure. He had to straighten him out even after he was an apostle. Man, you don't believe I'm saving Gentiles. Get down there to Cornelius' house and quit calling stuff clean, unclean, that I said is clean. So Peter is a great example, but you can pick any of them. You know, that's why I don't mind telling you about me. I don't do everything perfect. I got a lot of areas that in the public life are not what they ought to be. But it takes a little more courage to speak the truth. You know, we're always speaking ahead of where we are.
Yes.
Say, speak for yourself, Pastor. That's not me. I'm upright, I'm holy, I'm explicit. No, you're not. Neither am I. And it's a good thing God loves me anyway. And I'm doing the best I can do. I think I can do better. I keep telling myself, by your word, I can do better. I'm going to do better. You know what? My heart is set on it. The Holy Spirit is saying, you're going to do better. He's leading me and guiding me. Sometimes I quench the spirit. You know, you got to be truthful about where you are. If you want to get better, and I do. I always want to get better. I don't want to be the best pastor anybody ever had.
Right.
But I can't do that by lying and filling you with stuff that's not possible for you. I'm trying to tell you what you can really do and how to tighten up your relationship with God.
Thank you.
You know, be real with God. God knows you anyway.
Yes, he does.
He can see through you, you know, like a sheet of glass.
That's right.
But he loves you anyway.
Thank you, Lord.
While we were yet sinners, Paul writes,
right.
Jesus died for us. See? And so he's able to finish that which he started. Philippians 1:6.
Amen.
For I am confident, Paul says, of this very thing, that he which hath began a good work in you will continue to perform it even until the day of Jesus Christ. And so this is what I want you to say. See, that in Colossians, the text in Colossians, never let anybody tell you you're inadequate because you don't keep the rules. This is what the rest of the churches that get stumbled up in false doctrine do. Like got people saying, oh, you don't worship on Saturday, therefore you're not right with God. Oh, it has to do with what day I worship. You know what? I worship every day. I don't know about you. I love God every day. It's not about what day I come to church. This is just a day when it's configured in time where folks are off work and they can come to church, you know. And the early church started to worship on the first day of the week. They weren't keeping. They may have went to the Sabbath too just so they could talk to the Jews who were at the Sabbath. But then they came together on the first day of the week to worship God in spirit and truth and bring in the new converts from out of Judaism and the Gentiles and everybody else. You can see that pattern all through the New Testament. So Paul says this. He says, for I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and as for as many as have not seen my face. All he heard was the truth. They got the word from Paul, and he says, I have a great conflict. In other words, I labor about you. I go through a lot of changes thinking about you because I have delivered you the truth, and you have never seen my face. They heard it from other people. Word of mouth was spreading, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all the riches and full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. This is the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, the gospel is, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. True wisdom and knowledge is in Christ.
Yes.
And this I say, lest any man should beguile, that means to trick you, with enticing words. There's a lot of folks out here with enticing words and oratory, and they try to woo you in, suck you into some kind of a lie, and tell you you're inadequate, and Jesus has not done everything you need. And if you don't do this, you don't do that, you don't speak in tongues, you don't get baptized in Jesus' name, you don't all these 50 million different things, that you're not saved. Oh, you don't come to our church, so therefore you're not saved. You don't do it the way we do it, because therefore you are not saved. And that's what people say. Now, Paul wants to end all of that in your mind. For though I be absent in the flesh, and I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your ardor and steadfastness of your faith and praise, as ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, that as ye have been taught, see that same teaching that God did to Israel, he's doing it to us, abounding therein with thanksgiving, growing your teaching and in your learning, and grow in it. He says, abound in it, and beware lest any man spoil you. In other words, try to steal your reward, or through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world. That's where the world always goes, is to the flesh and not after Christ. For in him, that's in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete. That ought to be your favorite verse in the Bible. You are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You are complete in Christ.
Yes.
You aren't missing anything. I don't care what they told you. Or if you didn't do this, you didn't do that, you didn't do the other, if you don't do it this way, that way, the other way. If you trust Christ, you are complete in Him. Complete. You're not lacking anything. See what I'm saying? So this is what God offers to you in Jesus Christ. It's you are complete. Okay, and you would think, all people say, well, if you tell them that, they ain't gonna do everything. If God is not motivating you to do it, it's not gonna be done right anyway. If your attitude is bad, it's not gonna help you anyway. You know what I do? I've been serving the church, and I'm just about ready to shut up. I've been serving the church ever since I heard the gospel, really understood it. That God provides everything you need to make you right. Mm-hmm. And if you believe, that's what he says, many as believe him, to them he gives the right to be called the sons of God, even those that believe on his name. If you just trust in his name, he will save you. And you can know for sure you're saved. He's not playing games with you. He sends the church into the world to tell you that I love you and I gave my son for you. But he went in the grave to pay your bill. Got out of the grave to show you who was paid. There's your receipt. The risen Son of God. He's the only one that defeated death in the grave. He said to us to preach baptism in his name and the remission of sins. You see? And to go in all the world. People say, oh, keep that to yourself. Don't come over here. Don't be sending folks. Well, you know what? Jesus said go into all the world and teach all the nations. That's everybody. So no one is exempt from me sharing the gospel with you. You know? And I get the privilege to share the good news that God loves you. So I just need the courage to tell you, he loves you, and there's one way you can be saved. That's through faith in Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you are not saved, I want to invite you to come at this time. You ought to be saved. God wants you to be saved. He loves you just like you are. And you are complete in him if you trust in him. See? And you should know that. I love feeling complete, although I'm not totally done. God's still working on me. But I'm complete in Christ right now. See? And you know what? I'm better than I used to be. If you knew me before, you say, yeah, you were quite a bit better than you used to be. People say, oh, he cleans up pretty nice. I heard them say, some folks who seen me from back in the day. You know, and I'm getting better. I'm on the path. I'm on the right road now, somebody sang in a song. I'm not going to sing that one either. But if you're here today and you're not saved, you ought to be. God wants you to be. And so we give you that opportunity at this time. Amen. That you may come. Amen. Amen. You see that there are none, but yet there is room. If you're here and you'd like to be a member of the St. Timothy NB Church, we also extend the red carpet to you that you may come at this time accepting a member by letter or candidate for baptism. Amen. Amen. You see that there are none. Yet there is room.
Amen.
We have done as God commands. We thank you for your attention. And I want you to just be encouraged that